Good morning, everybody. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. Got to learn to keep this mic up. I'm used to talking with my hands. That's fine. But it's cool outside, but you know, the presence of God in our hearts and life makes us warm inside.
Yeah.
And I thought yesterday, as I was reading, studying a little bit, come across this thing. It says, Jesus is with me. I have good success because of him. And that is the only reason we have success, through him. On the back end, said in Colossians 1:16-17, all things were created and exist through him, by his service, intervention, and all for him. And he himself existed before all things. In him all things consist, cohere, or held together. So everything is held together through him. He's our total life. I was thinking, you know, I better give a topic to my message this morning, being in constant communion with God. That covers a lot. I might not cover all this morning, but it covers a lot. And when I talk to you, it's when I'm talking to me too, okay? So it's not just that way, it's this way also. But I thank God this morning for a time to share with you. And when we talk about communion with God constantly, the word, I looked it up, it means share intimately. How many times are we intimately with God, or we just have a relationship with him? There's a difference. You know, you walk around every day and have a relationship with your wife, just, yeah, hi, you know, just normal. But when we have that intimate relationship with, that shows love we have for him. We have that inner love that say, Jesus, I want to intervene with you. I want to be with you. I want you to live in me, live to the fullness in me. But you know, sometimes also we talk about our spirit. Or he says, I'm hard-headed sometimes. I don't know whether trying to break our spirit, same thing or not. But anyway, Jesus wants to try to break our spirit, and so his will be done, our will, and so we can allow his will to be done in our life. So many times, if we don't have his will in our life, we're just on a downward path. His will has got to be in our life all the time, and we got to be serving him with our whole mind, body, and soul. And I thought this morning, are we hungry for God? Are we hungry for his presence? How hungry are we? It said, and I think it's Matthew 5 and 6, it said, they that thirst and hunger after righteousness shall be filled. Yeah. Are we filled? Yeah. Are we really reaching out for that next level with God? We walk and we go on our everyday life and we think, well, I'm really doing great. But are we? Or are we just spinning wheels? Are we just doing what we want to do, doing our thing, and walking every day with him and saying, well, yeah, I serve Jesus. Everybody you talk to knows God. I don't care who you talk to. Yeah, I know God. You can go to a barn and know God. But, you know, there's a difference between knowing God and then knowing him really personally in our life. Yep. To have a relationship where we can have him to handle every part of our life and go to him anytime at all, talk to him as a friend. He's a friend. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our God. He's our healer. He's everything to us. So we come to church on Sunday morning, and like I said, me too, do we come just to say, well, I'm at the service, and I'm going to worship a little bit, and I'm going to just praise God? But are we letting him really control our life? Are we really letting him intervene with us and walk with us and say, Sam, this is what I want you to do today? And I said, well, God, I don't want to do that. Nah, come on now. You know, this is a little tough on me, but that's what he wants. He wants to walk hand in hand with him, be close to him, have a close relationship with him. Carly, you want to bring up 1 Thessalonians? I had the wrong person back here. 5:16-18. Talking about joy in our lives and our heart. Do you have it up? Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. Bring the next one up now. Be joyful always. I'm sorry about that. Pray continually. Bring up 18 also. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Always being thankful, always giving thanks in whatever the circumstances is. Sometimes I thought about that, we need to live above the circumstances every day. A lot of times the circumstance in life is not what we want. But he wants us to live above the circumstances. Yeah, and it's possible. And you know, we was talking about breaking your will a while ago. In the military, most people have been in there, they'll realize that they try to break your spirit and your will in the military. They want to get you where they can control you. And see, the reason for that is, if you're getting battle and they tell you to do something, you don't listen. When they break your will in the training and get your spirit lined up with what they want you to do, and they holler at you and everybody's firing at you, you know what to do then. You'll listen. And this is what God's trying to do, not fire at us, but he's trying to get us in a place where when he calls our name, we'll say, yes, Lord, what do you want me to do now? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to talk to? What area do you want me to cover today? Or what in my life is not pleasing to you? So many times we get our life cluttered up with things that God has to unclutter. And I also thought about it. It says we learn to live above our circumstances, but we like to live in a life that is smooth. I don't know about you, but I do. A life that's smooth and no problems, nothing happens. Go to work every day, come home, have a nice family, happy home. Don't tell me any problems. I don't want to hear them, you know. But see, that's not what life's all about, as we all find out. Life is a little cluttered sometimes. Life is a little disturbing sometimes. And we get to the point where when that happens, what's going on? We're controlling our life. But when we're up on the mountain, I like that song. I don't know what it is. I'm not a singer, but I like the one where when you're up on the mountain, things are great. You know, everything's going good. Jesus is blessing you, and everything's great. But when you hit that low spot in that valley, it's like, man, what in the world happened to me? Whew, God, where are you at? He says, I've been where I've always been. I'm here. Where are you at? You've done walked a little bit away from it. Not that you're lost, but it's this idea you've stepped aside and let other things intervene in your life or in my life. And we say, well, God, I didn't mean to do that. Well, you've done it. So he's trying to get our life uncluttered and let us to realize when we're in the valley, it's just as good as it is on the mountaintop. Even though we don't think so, he still blesses us there as he is on the mountaintop. But God is amazing. He is what I want to call ridiculous, unusual. I like that. I don't mean it in disrespect, but he does unusual things. And we're unusual, too. I'm ridiculous sometimes, but anyways. But thanks, Monty. I always need that. But anyways, we are, and God sees us as we are every day. We don't hide anything. We don't look at him and say, well, I didn't do it. He knows exactly where I've been, what I've done, what I've been through a day. Before I even ask, he knows what my next steps could be. And I'll say, well, Lord, I need help. I already know you need help. But we forget that it's already done. And when we talk to God, we talk to God like he's out here and we're here. But he's with us. He's in our heart. If we're serving Jesus Christ in a proper way, he's within us, living here. And he wants to get this heart's sort of like a little garden. You know, you should try to, all of you have gardens pretty much. You know how you produce a lot of good things. And if you have the right proper weather, you produce a lot of stuff. But then there's time weeds gets in there. And they sort of crowd things out if you don't watch, if you don't pull them out. And this is what Jesus tries to do. He tries to weed our heart out of things that don't belong in there. There are sort of things that, like selfishness, pride, those kind of things. And when he gets those out of us, he can work in us more efficiently. Because you think about it. When all those things are in your heart and they pop up, even though you think they're not there, you let someone rub you the wrong way. See what comes out of you. See where you're at. Any of us, myself, let someone rub you and say something wrong to you on your job or wherever you're at, and you say, well, I had no business saying that. And you get a little bit of edginess, you know, like, well, I like a little ridiculous, unusual for him to say that. I don't know what I did to him. But anyways, this is what God tried to do, weed our heart out, get us straightened out. And the more of his presence flows in our heart and life, the more that'll shrivel and just disintegrate. And then you'll start seeing love and joy and peace. These are good things God wants to put in us. He wants us to live with those in us. And so many things happen, though, that we just allow to happen. Bring up Proverbs 3:6, please. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and we'll make your path straight. As we walk this Christian walk with him, if we do things that are within him, we'll find our path will be a lot straighter, a lot more pleasant. And our life will be more pleasant. But I don't care. We are human beings, and we all do things that we shouldn't do. But with Christ as the center, as leader, leading us, we're going to come in line with his word more. And we're going to find out that the things we didn't see before, we're starting to see more. Like I said, he gets our heart straightened out and gets some of that stuff shouldn't be in there out and starts flowing in with if we allow it. See, we control all that too. If we don't allow God to work in our heart, he's not going to work in it. We got to open up and let him work in it. And when he starts getting more, we start getting more love in us, more caring for other people, and more concerned about people, you'll find out it'll be a brighter day, be a brighter walk with him, and it'll be more what he expects out of us. This is just common knowledge to everybody. It's nothing great or special, but I think it's things we need to be refreshed about sometimes and remember, you know. And like a lot of times we talk to our family and members and we tell them all this, but you know, God is the type of person we can just talk to him just like normal. We don't have to say thee, thou, and all this stuff. We can just talk to him on a level like where we're at. Everybody's on a different level. I'm different level. You're different level. Everybody's at a different level of God. Nobody has arrived yet. I don't think so. If you arrived, you're probably going to leave this earth. But we have all come to a certain level with God. We walk with him and try to be pleasing to him, but he sees we're still human. And he sees a human part in us. And he says, I knew you were going to do that before you did it. I could have told you that. But see, I let you learn through mistakes. And I thought it's also about talk about tests. What is a test? In school, you take a test. You learn something from what you've been taught. So when we say we're tested by God, what's he doing? He's trying to let us use experience for this problem. Like, what have we learned in the past? He wants us to apply to this situation. That's what a test's about, going back and picking up what you've learned, been taught, and use it for this situation. And this is why there's so much about God that there's levels that as we come to serving him that we don't want to try to scratch the surface of it. And when we talk about praying and seeking God, we got to, I thought this morning too, are our hearts really, really hungry? And I don't know whether I brought it up all good or not. Yeah, I think I did, yeah. But anyways, when we thirst and hunger after him, that is what it's all about. It's the key to everything. That's the key to our whole life, and that's the key to everyday life. And when I'm in that valley walking around, Arden can tell it. She knows it. She'll come on work, she'll say, what's the matter with you today? Nothing. Every rough day? It's okay. What went wrong? Nothing. See, I'm just not being open, see, because I'm keeping it inside of me. And Jesus, when we're talking to him, what's the matter with you today? I already know what it is. Why don't you want to tell me? Share it with me, and then I can solve it. But we keep it in self. We keep it hidden because we think, well, nobody knows it, but no. It's good to talk and get things out. And Jesus says, speak to me, talk to me, open up, reveal your life to me, which I already know. But I want you to tell me so that you'll know that I'm here to solve all these problems. But, when you have a bad day and there's things I don't like to talk about, I come home and just like, I don't feel like talking about it today. Sit down on the couch, get ready to get for the evening. She'll say, come on now, I know something's wrong. So finally, what do? You break down and say, okay, yeah. Here's what happened. After all that probing and everything. But it is good to be able to share with Jesus and let him know how you true feeling you really are. Yeah. And how many mistakes that you've made. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've failed you here. I didn't mean to. And he says, I know all about it. I'll take care of it. But you need to improve. You need to walk closer with me. Get in the word more. Pray more. Seek my face. The more we seek his face, the closer we become to him. He wants us to be so close to him that he's closer than a brother. You know, you have family members that you do all have family members that you're really close to, and you think, man, I'm really close to this person, my sister or brother. And some of them you're not close to, some of them you are. But you think, what a relationship I have with them. And that's what Jesus wants, a relationship with him that he can count on us and we can count on him. That we can just say, Lord, I love you and I praise you and I need this today. I need you to solve this problem. And it's done. He's already done it. But it's just, what it is us accepting what he's done, putting ourselves in a position where we can say, Lord, I thank you for it. But walking with Jesus is one of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my life. And I have not always been a true and faithful servant. I've failed by the wayside. I've blundered and messed up, but he's always there to say, I love you. He loves every one of you this morning, loves me. And I feel so good in the morning. When I get up and I say, Lord, and when your feet touches the floor, and the older you get, When you feel good, thank God, another day. But, you know, you think all the ailments I have, and you look at other people and say, I'm feeling great compared to these people. But, you know, we need to be thankful for just getting up in the morning and feeling healthy and feeling really refreshed, you know. Feel good about the day. I've told a guy at work, the way you start your day, you program your day. You can decide whether it's going to be good or bad. When you get up in the morning, you got a bad attitude, it'll be a bad day. Everything you touch, everything you do will go wrong. But when you get up and you're rejoicing, thanking God for another day, and thinking, this is great, you know, serving the alive God, he really cares about me, that is when you will have a great day. No matter when people rub you the wrong way, it's like, doesn't really matter. What's it matter? It's just words. And words cannot do any harm to you. We let them, but they shouldn't. Okay, you want to bring up Philippians 4:9, please? Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Whatever you've learned, when anytime you learn something, it's an added thing to your life. And with Jesus, anytime you can serve him and learn an everyday thing from him, you can put that to practice later on in your life. Everything is great that comes from him. And serving Jesus can be so wonderful, as you all see and know. But he wants good for us. He has promised to meet all our needs and our deepest need. And he cares about you. He really cares. I guess I can't say it enough. I've been in the pits, and I've been on the good side. Yeah. The pits aren't good. Terrible. I think probably most of you can agree with me on that. You know, a lot of you have pity parties. Ever have any of those? Sure. I don't think I'm alone here today. I hope not. But we've all been there. We've all felt like that. But Jesus says, I want to take all that from you. And whatever you have learned or received, heard from me, put it into practice. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will take care of it. But Jesus said, I love you so much. I've done so much for you. I've done it 2,000 years ago. Just accept it. And that's the hard part, accepting what he's already done. We know it's already done, but it's just like healing or anything. You say, Lord, I need a healing. I've done it. 2,000 years ago, I did it. Just accept it. But that's the toughest part, accepting it. And really saying, "Hi, Lord, reach out and say, I accept this, and I claim it right now in the name of Jesus." And you'll find out before long, you walk around, that little limp goes away. You're feeling good. Your day is cheerful and bright, but he does love us. And I like to say in the mornings on the way to work, Lord, I love you because I know you love me too. And I know it's going to be a blessed day because you're in my day. And everything I do today, every walk I take, you're going to be with me. So you guide my pathway today, and I'll follow. And whatever stands in my way, you take care of it before I even get there. Or we could say, Lord, this is a rotten day. Why was I even born? Now, what day? What's your day going to wind up then when you say it that way? Your day is going to be a rotten day, just like you say. But you can program your day for how it's going to be. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light and momentary troubles... I'll get it out. Troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. His eternal glory takes care of all that. But as I said a while ago, God's trying to rid our hearts every day. He's trying to establish things in our life where we can be more firm as Christians. We can be more educated on how to operate in the Word. We can learn a lot from other people. I've learned a lot from other pastors and things I've heard, and I think, well, you know, it sounds good, but then you go back and do a little research on it. It's really amazing things we learn and things we can pick up from other people. But God wants to be in our life every phase of it. I don't care what the situation is and how bad it looks. He wants to be in control. And when we let him be in control, we're going to find out our life will go much, much better. It'll be much more flourishing, prosperous, Okay, when we I thought about last night. I was there at the table by myself, and she was in bed, and it was quiet. And I thought, this is what Jesus wants, a quiet time with him, you know. Yeah. Open our hearts up to him, say, Lord, just you and I, here we are. Yeah. And let him speak to your heart. And he says, as he's speaking to your heart and you're quiet, sometimes we do too much talking to him and don't listen a little bit. Yeah. You know, sometimes he wants us to take a little bit of time to listen and be what he wants. If I'm always talking to him and I'm always asking for something every time I turn around, it's like, well, you quiet down. Just let me talk to you. So that quiet time with God is a time that is really important. And so many times we're going here and there to work and all the to-do list mentally and physically we do, and we got our minds on that. And God says, just calm down, will you, please? You're making me dizzy. Just calm down and settle down so I can talk to you. But that's tough. Do we ever sometimes say we want to do all the talking, even at home? But, you know, we always want to get our two cents, I might say, in. But, you know, God says, you've said enough. Just quiet down a little bit. Let me talk, and then I'll let you talk back to me. And there's so many times when we get that quiet time with him, he speaks to our heart and ministers to us, and says, this is what I want you to do. This is my plan for your life. Lays it all out. And he says, some of the stuff that you thought was really important, isn't important at all. Nothing. He says, without me, as he's speaking to you, without me, you're nothing. And he's right. And every day, if we could have a little quiet time, just going to work or going on you and quit worrying about our things around the house we got to do. I'm always concerned about, I got to do this, got to do that. But just that quiet time and just relax a little bit. And Jesus can speak to us through the word, through our spirit. And he can say, this is what I want for you to do this week. Now, whether we do it or not, that's our choice. He can't come over and just force you. Well, he could, but he doesn't. He gives you your own free will. And that's why I was talking earlier about breaking our will. Until he can break our will with our help, you know, just letting the thing go, he has a struggle with us. Because when he's speaking to us, we're speaking back to him, I need this, I need that. He said, I'm not asking what you need. I want you to be quiet and listen to me. That's what I want you to do. And then you can talk to me. But too many times we're just too busy. We're a busy generation, busy country. We're a busy world. It's always go do this, let's do that. But I think that's what's matter of families today too. So they're going the opposite ways. One's got one to do, another one's got something else to do, and they don't come together even for a family time. And it's good to go and good to do, but we also need to have a family time also, especially if you got a big family. Get everybody together and just have a quiet time with God and just see what he has to say to us. See what he's speaking to our heart. See whether where we're at as far as spiritually where we're really at, whether we're on a mountaintop all the time or whether we're in the mullein grubs and all the time or where we're really at. Do we want to do his will or we want to do our will? He says, what do you want to do? You want to do it your way or you want to do it my way? My way is better, easier, and more comforting. Your way is a struggle. But his peace outweighs any trials will ever come our way. And when we have the peace of God in our heart, in our mind, in our thoughts, any trial comes our way, anything comes against us, we will always be more powerful. And we'll be able to walk in his ways, do everything he wants to do. But when we're going to get on our own little way and get to walking away in our own little situations, we find that our life is quite a struggle. And we'll find that if things happen, we sometimes bring on things on ourselves. We don't just let them happen. We bring them on. I know things in my life I've done before. I've brought things on. Not intentionally, but I have by haphazard living. So all the years as a Christian, there's been years that been a lot of struggles too. Arnie can tell you that. I've not only been on the mountain, I've been a lot of times sinking down a lot. And it's not fun. You think you're never coming out. But through the mercy and grace of God, you come out. Yeah. But like I said, in Jesus, we have everything. And the more we yearn for him and have our spirit yearning for him, the more we're going to see the Spirit, His Spirit flow through us more efficiently. We're going to see God move in us. We're going to see things take place in our life that we never dreamed would happen. We're going to see God just walk in ways in our life and perform things in our life we never thought. We thought, well, those are never going to happen in my life. Yes, they can. And we can be what He wants us to be. But it's going to take a little effort on our part, too. He supplies all we need, but we got to be open to Him to be able to do this. But that's why I think in the morning, you know, as you're on your way, wherever you're, just take time to thank God. Just take time to say, Lord, this is the day You've made. I'm so happy. I'm so pleased with it. Don't say, well, what kind of mess I got today ahead of me, because it'll be a mess. But walk in His Spirit. Walk in His ways. And walk the way He'd have you to walk. And be who He would have you to be. And be that loving person. Be that kind person. Sometimes we're not always that way. Sometimes a sharp word, your spouse can say something, a sharp word. Maybe you didn't mean to, but it happened. And you know, you say I'm sorry, but that you can never take that word back. It's the sorry covers some of it, but not all of it. Sometimes those words can be very hurtful. And we even people we see during the day, we got to watch how we handle people, how we speak to people. Because sometimes we can hurt their feelings and we can hurt them spiritually also by things we say to them. So being, someone says, it's good to be honest. It's good to be honest. Yes, you should be honest. But be honest in a loving way. I've seen some pastors, too, that get up and, shoo, I wonder where their love's at. We heard one just speaking yesterday a little bit. I listened by 10 minutes of him. And the most of his message was tearing people down and what he didn't like and how this guy, he went to this church, he didn't like what he did. And I thought, well, when are you going to preach, you know? And he was a pretty good, pretty famous evangelist. He wasn't the best on the East Coast, but he's good. But like I said, in Jesus, we have everything. We have everything we need in life. And sometimes we think, well, I don't have this, I have that. But we do. We really do. Financially, spiritually, we got what we need. It's just applying it to life and use what we have. Sometimes we got more than what we need. And I think of people that we can help, and that's a big thing, helping people. You don't have to give them $1 million or $1,000. Sometimes you can minister to people through the word, or if you see they need a meal, buy them a meal, just something. You see they're down and out, just lift them up, their spirits up. Even Christian people. How many times have you seen Christian people wherever you go? And they're sort of down and out. I had a guy come to my office. I didn't share his name yet. And he works and makes pretty good money. And he has nothing, absolutely nothing. He's been divorced sometimes, and he's living in his car. And he has been living in the building up there the last couple of days where we work. He was crying, and, you know, what do? You get a situation like that, you're not prepared for that day. I wasn't prepared for it when he came in there. And I try to talk to him, and you think, well, what am I going to do? The guy has, what has happened, though, when you think back, this guy has wasted all he's had. Made pretty good money, but he's wasted it all. Now, it was his fault, yes, but do I badmouth him? No. I'm going to try to encourage him and lift him up and tell him it can be better. You know, get yourself together, and you can still restore your life a little bit. But through Jesus, you're going to need help. But he was really in sad shape, and I felt sorry for him. And it hit me in a spot where I had a lot going on. I didn't know what to do. But there he was. I told him, I said, just sit down. We'll talk a little bit. And the lady brought him into my office. I thought she might have talked to him before she got him here because he was a pretty good mess. But anyways, we finally got him calmed down, and he got back to work. But I told him, I said, don't give up on life. I said, get yourself together, and you make X amount of dollars. Try to get yourself straightened out. And quit wasting your money and think of what's going to happen ahead of you. And finally, he got straightened out a little bit. And his finances didn't get straightened out, but he got his mind thought straightened out. And here's where it starts, a lot of it. It goes from here to here. So he was getting straightened out, and I thank God for that. And I didn't do anything great for him. Because like I said, what are you going to do? You're both on jobs. You got jobs to do. And you can minister a little bit to him, but you can't say a whole lot. You got to watch. But God does intervene. And like I said, he's not a Christian, So that made it different. But even Christian people, you see them going jobs, and they're like, they're a disaster. They hit the door, they're a mess. So what do? You try to show them love, try to show them kindness, and try to get them straightened up for the day, and get them moving. And that's what God wants us to do, help others. I thought we're thinking there about, see, go to 2 Corinthians 4:18, 2 Corinthians. We fix our eye not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Or what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Things we see and things we rely on are just a temporary thing in life. But the things we don't see is eternal with Jesus. That's where our faith comes in. Trusting things that you don't see, things that in your spirit you don't see, but it's there. Now, things that are seen, they're temporary. They come and go. It's not guaranteed you're going to be there forever, but it just comes and goes. Like you might look at your car and your house. It's a temporary. Jesus gave you that to live in while you're here on earth. But it's not eternal. It's not going to take you, and you're not going to take it with you. People think we're going to take all this money with them. No, not. Jesus says, what you see is what I'm providing for you. But it's temporary. It can go anytime. But what you don't see is me, and I'm eternal. I'm forever. I'm forever in your life. I'm forever walking with you. I'm forever whatever you want me to be and more. I created the universe, created everything there is, and taking care of you is minor compared to all this that I did. Let's go to Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Doing more than we can expect. His power in us is what makes things alive in us. What makes us a lively person, makes us be good to be around. Did you ever hear people say, man, that person was great to be around. They were so enjoyable. I could talk to them. I could communicate with them. Then you've had other people say, man, they're a louse to be around. Boy, what is the matter with them today? But which would you rather be around? I'd rather be around the person that is joyful, happy, the presence of God's on their life, and they're inspired. And you see Jesus just in them, you say, man, this is great. Then you walk up to the other person, you walk up 5 minutes later, someone else says, what a lousy day. And you see all the discord coming out of them. So you got to move away a little bit. Pray for them, move on. But God can be what we want him to be in our life. But when we decide we don't want him to be something, we can really hinder his presence big time. But God is always wanting us to commune with him, always. He's always wanting us to have that intimate relationship, be there and walk with him and do everything he wants us to do. Yeah. Even though we don't like it. Yeah. Even though we think, well, Lord, this will hurt. I can't stand this. He says, do it. It'll be okay. Do it. Did you ever see somebody that was, you walk up on them and they're maybe really hurting bad and you say, Lord, what do I do now? They're sick. They've got afflictions, and they're just a mess. Why do we walk away from people like that? And we walk over to here, and we say, well, Jim, he's a great guy. I'll deal more with him. But see, when we have this person over here, we talk about being so bad. That's our test. We're going to put in action what we've been taught through the Word of God in the past to help this person. We're going to pull out everything we learn to help this person. But it's much easier to walk over and say, Jim, how you doing today, brother? And start talking about the Word. But this person's not a Christian, doesn't know anything. It's so hard to walk over and say, hey, buddy, you know, you need help today? Well, yeah, you see, he needs help. But it's so easy to walk away. But then Jesus says, that's that commune you have with me, that intimacy. And this guy needs it right now. He needs to be intimately with somebody. And they say, show him what you're made of. Show him the presence, my presence inside of you. Show him that I can help him. Show him what Jesus does for you, that he doesn't destroy you, that he does care about you, he loves you. This is what we got to look at. And we just can't help people we want to help. And other people say, oh, we'll cast them aside. I don't really care about them. Forget about them. No. The world's a hurting place to live in today. Every place you look, people are hurting. And if someone doesn't stand up, if we as Christians don't stand up and say, hey, Jesus is the way. Jesus loves you. He'll help you. He'll take care of your situation. All you need to do is trust in him and abide in him. Yeah. He will take care of your situation. Yeah, but instead of walking away and saying, I'm done. No, you're not. Your work just started with this person or this situation. But when you say the name of Jesus, it has power in it. It has something in it that just inspires people. And you say, and you ever notice when you get talking about the Word of God, people listen. They may not want to listen to all of it, but they'll catch some of it. And then you walk away and say, where are the guys? Is he crazy? But you know, the Word of God is powerful. It can be make a person that has nothing have a lot. A person that's down and out can be lifted up. But Jesus does amazing things. And the amazing things he does, to me, is amazing. And have you ever worried about something throughout the day saying, man, what am I going to do about this situation? And instead of praying now, you say, whew, I don't know what I'm going to do with this situation. And all day long you worry. And then later on you say, Christians finally say, Lord, I need help. After all this worry, we finally look up and say, Lord, and Jesus is there all the time. Say, I need help with this. And when the day's in, it's not as bad as what you thought it was. He's turned it around where it doesn't look bad at all. That situation was minor. But this is what happens in life. When we don't trust him, we can get in the rut. We can get in situations where we're not profitable to him. And that, what else are we on earth for? Not just to live our own little life. We're on the earth to be profitable to Jesus, to do his will, to be a blessing to others, be a blessing to him. When we do things for others, we're a blessing to him. But he's trying to reach out and get everything out of us so he can put all the good in us, like we talked earlier. He wants to restore us with love. He wants to just restore every part of our body. Health-wise, too. Yep. And older you get, health means a lot. It does when you're young, too. But anyways, Jesus is good. He's alive today. And I was thinking there as I was reading, too, in the Garden of Eden, you know, she had anything she wanted, anything. A thankful life, just everything was going so good. But what happened? Temptation came in so quick. And this is how temptation can come in our life, really quick. When you think everything's okay, and you think, well, I'll never be tempted with that, that is a situation that you will not put much emphasis on. But the one that you are concerned about, you're going over here, put a lot more emphasis. The one that you weren't concerned, I've got it under control, that's the one come back to get you. The one you're not concerned about. I've got it under control. I don't need to worry about it. But that situation is what gets you. But here she had everything she wanted in that garden. Jesus provided everything. A thankfulness, a relationship with Jesus. Nothing could go wrong. But that one temptation come between them and Jesus. Just couldn't stand it. Had to listen to the enemy. Could not stand it. Had to listen. And when she did, that's what happened. He put him out of the garden. Had a beautiful life. Everything he wanted. And that's with us. We can have everything in life, be all built up, and think, well, financially, I'm in great shape. I've got this. But then when we go through that temptation and fall, we can fall by the wayside in 5 minutes. Our life can become crumbled in 5 minutes. And then we're saying, what in the world happened? Jesus said, the temptation got you. And you let it get a hold of you before you even asked me to help you with it. You let it keep getting at you. And each day you step a little further into it, a little further into this situation. And first thing you know, it got you. And then you're saying, Lord, I don't know what happened. Yes, you do. You got on the wrong side. You walked in the wrong ways. Instead of trusting in him, you went and did your own thing. And that's what Eve did. She fell into temptation and destroyed everything. But it can happen to us, too, in life today. Bring up 2 Corinthians 4:18, please. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. We went over that a while ago. But I like that scripture there because There's so many that when we talk to Jesus, we've never seen him. We've seen results from him. We've read the word about him. We've never seen him face to face. But yet we're trusting in him. We're a people that are used to seeing things. Well, I don't see no healing there. We're used to seeing it. We're saying, well, that person should have been healed. I don't see it. When we're trusting Jesus, we've never seen him. But we're looking to him and trusting him to perform in our life and perfect our life. But we're so used to seeing things in the natural, and we have a hard time looking into spiritual things. We have a hard time seeing things beyond instead of right now. We're looking at present day. Jesus shows his future. We're looking at yesterday. He's showing us tomorrow. See, he is everything. He knows what's best for us. But just getting us in our mind to say, Lord, I know this is best for me. I'm going to obey. But whenever we do that, we just fall into situations that we can't handle. No way. And then we start looking and saying, well, I don't see this happen. I don't see that happen. We got to realize things come by faith. Things aren't always what you see on the surface. Things go deeper. And that's why our healings, when we're healed, you know, the enemy can come back. We can get a healing, and then we can not trust the Lord, continue to trust Jesus about it. And first thing you know, the enemy can come in and create more problems. I know I'm talking about so much about the love of Jesus today, but what else is there? I mean, there's nothing else but the love of Jesus. It comes in different ways, different areas, but there's nothing else we can talk about. You can talk about this whole word of God, but what's it amount to? The love of Jesus Christ. His love for you, his putting peace in your heart and life, teaching you how to grow in him. This is what it's all about. We come to Sunday school, church every Sunday or whatever, wherever you go, and that's what it's all about, learning more how we can fight the enemy and come against him through him. Not our ways, but his ways. Our ways are not always best. I know my ways are not always best, and when I trust in him, it's a lot better. But life can be a situation where it can be joyful and it can be sad. In our marriages, we can make it happy or sad. We can make it either way we want to. I've made mine sad before, and I'll make it happy at times. But there's, you know, that was me drifting away, not really staying committed to what God wanted. So we really have to, he wants us to guard our heart too. What philosophy we hear, what we hear from other people, what we're taking in this vessel. Sometimes when someone preaches, it's not always true. That's why we need to follow them. When they give you scripture, go back and look at it. See if what they're telling you is true, or is just a bunch of stories. But we need to walk in his ways and do what makes it beneficial for us. And he will. He will solve problems. He'll take care of things. But remember, when you start reading from front to back, it's his love. I don't care where you're at. It's the love of Jesus Christ. I don't care who you are. Without his love, you're nothing. I'm nothing. And when we have problems, without him, I have nothing. I don't solve a thing. I'm just spinning the wheel and going circles. But with him, everything comes right back in line. And when we have prayer, do we believe for our healing at times, or do we go through a routine? Think about it. When you have an ailment, you hurt, you feel bad, you say, well, Lord, I'll get prayed for. We pray for it. Do we believe it? Or do we walk back the same way we were when it came up? I mean, it happens. It's happened to me. I've been like that. But that he says, I am the healer. So what is it? It's our belief and trust in him. That's where it's all at. He's already done it, but he wants us to show him the results we've learned in our life. But Jesus is alive today. He's still well, happy, trying to plant it in us and trying to get through these hard heads like mine and stuff and making me understand that I can be somebody that he wants me to be. Not somebody I want to be, but somebody he wants me to be. Okay, I've talked about how he wants to fill us with joy, peace. These are all gifts from heaven. These are all gifts that God's given us. He wants to be filled with the heavenly spirit. He wants the Holy Spirit to work in us. What did he say? When I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back to you to comfort you and take care of you. He knew that when he went away. But we get fear in our life. We get things in our life that we can't handle. Like, I thought about when he and the disciples got on a boat, went from one side of the lake to the other. Remember, the storm came up, and he was asleep. He was relaxed. He wasn't worried. They were all excited, woke him up. Why are you sleeping? What's going on? Storm. He just calmed the storms. He knew. He didn't care. He knew. He knew there wasn't no harm coming to him because he controlled everything, and he was relaxed. And I think that's what he wants to be. Lay back and relax and say, Jesus, you're driving the bus. I'm just riding along. Just like, for instance, with paying, when you're paying your bills and your house payments, and he's paying the bill. He provided a job for you, but he's taking care of it. He's got the money. He's got it all. But he wants us to be relaxed in him and be who we are. Don't be somebody else. Don't try to be somebody else. Be yourself. In your everyday life, be who you are, but then allow him to work through you. And you'll find out that we'll be a better person, better individual, and we will walk with him and be obedient to him. Okay, let's go to, I don't have it on there, Galatians 5:22.
Jesus asking, wilt thou be made whole? Mm-hmm. He was dealing with his will, first of all. And when we submit our will to his will, then God can do the miraculous. He can do, you know, whatever we need to, mm-hmm. to have done, you know. And I thought, you know, when you said about in the garden, and in an instant, Eve destroyed everything, like mm-hmm. you said. And, you know, I thought about that. She was saying that she didn't do a whole lot of bad things. Yeah. All she did was get out of the will of God. That's all. And she made the one mistake mm-hmm. that cost them their joy, right. their peace, their life. Took it all away. And, it's amazing how that just, you can let one thing in your life overwhelm you to the place where you stop walking after the things of God. Right. Or where you stop following the will of God, mm-hmm. and everything else goes. Right. It's just our will just has to be put aside.
It takes a while to overcome those really mistakes does. We make. It takes a long time to recover back, to get back in to where God wants you to be with him.
Right.
Good comment, Shirley. Thanks. Okay, but the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. All these things. That's a lot, isn't it? Or where are we at? When you look at it, I read, I said, where am I at here, Lord? Am I with all that? I've got the love of Jesus, joy, peace, patience. I'm not sure. I try. But there's times I'm impatient. Are you impatient? And I know I've got a wife really impatient. She wants things done. She wants done now. I said, can't wait till a half hour. No. Then she'll say to me, well, how come you're so impatient? I didn't know it was. But see, we don't realize sometimes what's in our life that we have. And then we read this and we say, wow, I don't have all that in my life. So I need to, Lord, you need to sort of search in my heart and clean me out a little bit. Get my garden weeded out and put more of this in there so it'll shrivel those weeds up and destroy them. Faithfulness, are we faithful to him? How about gentleness? Are we gentle people? We have good words for things. Self-control. Do we have self-control? It looked like Eve didn't have any self-control, did she? That one time. Now, like you said, she was good otherwise, but that one time. And how long take to recover? Still recovering, aren't we? Yeah, still recovering. And such things, there's no law. Only Jesus Christ can put those in them. But remember, again, Jesus loves you. And I'll never say it enough. If you don't get anything else out of this today, remember, Jesus loves you. No matter what happens, he loves you. And without his love, you're nothing. So if you get nothing else out of this today, remember that. I just think about that all the time. That's on my mind all the time, how much he loves me. Here's a little comment. It says, to obey, I obey and God displays. When I obey him, he displays how we're living. He showed people the showcase, in other words. He says, this is my servant. I am so proud of him or her. I'm proud of them today because I've taught them. They've absorbed what I've told them. They're living a life for me. They're up doing this or doing that. They're helping people. They're having love for one another, kindness. They're patient with me. They're patient with other people. But he says, this is my prime example of what I can be in your life. But we obey, and he'll display our life. And he'll show people what we're really made of. And things will come your way. They'll rub you the wrong way. People will. But those little words shouldn't matter to us. We should say, doesn't really matter. It's minor. I'm trying to learn all this, but I'm still struggling a little bit. Okay, but I'm going to bring to a close here this morning. I hope I didn't bore you too much. But God is good, and maybe someone needs prayer this morning or wants to have prayer. I don't know. Or if you want to just come to altars and have prayer, it's up to you. But other than that, it's been good this morning. God has been good. And maybe all my words didn't come out as clear as I want them to, but, you know, hey, I'm human. And God is my Savior. He controlled my life, so you put them together. If I didn't get them together right, you'll know what I'm at. But Jesus is good. He loves us. And I praise him this morning and thank him for Pastor Lisa gave me this opportunity. I'm not the greatest preacher around or speaker around, but I do what I know to do and what I feel God's given me. And sometimes when you're speaking like this, you get a little nervous. You first get up. And then sometimes you try to not talk things over again that you mentioned before. It happens. Like I said, I'm a human being. I'm like everybody else. I'm just normal. But God is good to me, my family. I love him. And thank you all this morning for being here. And we praise him this morning. Let's have a minute of prayer real quick for you. Fathers, we come to a close this morning, Lord. We love you and we thank you for what you've done for us and what you've blessed us this morning, God, through your word. We thank you. We pray, Lord, the word took place in hearts this morning and lives, that we as individuals will be a better servant for you, Jesus. We'll do more for you as we leave this house and go to our homes, that we'll be better people, Lord, better what you want us to be. And we pray for the ladies that are traveling tonight or tomorrow morning that you'll bless them and keep them safe. We pray they had a good services over the weekend, Lord. We just love you and thank you for this church, Lord, for these people. I thank you and love you in the name of Jesus. Amen.